presentation is Tanika Missouri, and she's going to be talking to us about what is a person, the implications of personhood on theology and research. Let's welcome her.
Good afternoon, everyone, and I thank you so much for this opportunity. And you could have chosen anywhere else to go, but thank you for coming to support me. My name is Tanika Missouri. I'm a student at Cal Baptist University in clinical psychology, where I'm in the going into the third year of my doctoral program. For the agenda, I'm going to define personhood. I'm going to talk a little about God's creative purpose. I'm going to talk about how we navigate historical challenges, and then integrate social sciences with theological theories. What is a person? Throughout research literature, science has attempted to define personhood. The overarching theme is that if the sciences can articulate personhood in a generalizable way, embodying all the possibilities from a multidisciplinary lens, we can increase global awareness of how humanity can operate at the most actualized potential and impact society across disciplines. So what is a person? One definition is, it is a being that has certain capacities or attributes such as reason, morality, consciousness, or self-consciousness, and being a part of culturally established form of social relations such as kinship, ownership of property, or legal responsibility. Another definition is a Latin word, which is homo sapien, for wise man, which speaks of our mental capacity. Those are the two applicable definitions. And in Hebrew, we find person, the Hebrew word is da, for Adam. And it means in the image of God. And it is interpreted man, person, or human being. There's a second definition called enos, which is the other end of personhood, which speaks of weakness of humanity. There are several scriptures that come to mind when we talk about personhood. We're going to start in Genesis 1, 26 to 28 and 31. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female he created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And everything, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So when we talk about the sixth day experience, we talk about the image of God's goodness, being made in the image of God. And everything that God created, he said it was good. But when God made man in his image, it was very good. And it was good to himself and pleasing to him. And when God speaks of goodness, he speaks of virtue. It gave God the most pleasure to reimagine himself within the context of a person. There's one more scripture, Genesis 2 and 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help me. The word for help me is either. And what it means is almost like a battle buddy, someone to war with, someone to support, to stand in the place of, and to intercede with. In Romans 8 and 28, It says, and we know all the things that work together for, that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This means that God can make a human experience good or bad, and he can take that experience and use the collective experience to create something good for the individual or for the society, to bring mankind back to his purpose. When we have met this criteria, when you love God and are doing what you are called to do, it works for your good. And in Ephesians 4 and 6, lastly, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what that says to us is that when we walk worthy of, we need to walk worthy of our call. We can't allow the things that God has called us to do to stay dormant, because there are so many people whose lives are depending on what we produce. There are so many people waiting for us to sow into them so that they can become who they need to be. And so it's so important to walk worthy of the call with gentleness and lowliness, not being proud and puffed up, but knowing that we can walk in authority and dominion as God has called us to it. There are cultural influences on personhood. Culture is the ideas, customs, behavior that individuals identify with or operate within in society. It makes us diverse and causes like-minded people to identify with each other at the same time. Language, religion, food, social norms, art forms are all specific to culture. And it's important to understand cultural diversity because it's the lens in which we see through. And so we all see differently because of our upbringing, because of our experiences, because of our spirituality, because of our relationships. You know, all of those things depict on how we perceive each other, how we perceive ourselves. So it's important to understand who we are as a culture and who mentalize from the perspective of the person that we're viewing, so we can know how to understand them better. So we were talking about identity. People identify through all of these ways. I don't know if you can see it, but relationships. Objects, possessions, creativity, through choices, through beliefs and value systems, through family of origin, history, relationships, tradition, genetics, interests, even our work and our hobbies are some of the ways that we identify ourselves as a person. And all of this, our purpose is to please God, to help each other, to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, subdue, and take dominion. I'm going to skip to the historical challenges because that plays so much of a part of how come we never attain what we are supposed to do in its fullness. Do we ever achieve self-actualization? Do we ever walk in the trueness or the spirit of authority and dominion like God has called us to? And if we don't, why not? There are so many historical challenges that's faced. We've talked about racism, we've talked about sexism, we've talked about lack of understanding and commitment due to different cultural values. But these are all concepts that are belief-oriented, and they are because of theory of mind. And theory of mind is how we perceive things through our own personal perspective. And that's what psychology does. It looks at human behavior as a result of how we perceive and behave and our emotions and our feelings. And those things are all subjective to our experience. And we portray that in how we behave with God, in relationship with God, and with each other. Since the fall of man, there has been a battle for the mind. From scripture, we can depict the space, time, the offense, and it was all there at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the garden, the war began with Eve and Satan, and it began with belief. There are outside forces that causes us to battle with our thoughts, emotion, and behaviors. And there is also an ongoing war within ourselves that contributes to self-defeating behaviors. We begin to believe a lie that results in systems of depression, anxiety, fear, that ultimately lead to failure to produce. And one of the things I'm doing my dissertation on is imposter syndrome. Oftentimes we, even if we're in a profession where we've mastered and we're in our doctorate, sometimes we still go into it feeling that we're less, incapable of fulfilling a task. It's too big for us. We can't transcend the odds. We have to fit a stereotype or a comparison. There's these issues that we face, these challenges that we face that keep us from moving forward. Trying not to get ahead of myself because I know it by heart, but and these things that we believe about ourselves cause conflict within ourselves. And it leads us to sometimes not produce, but that's just the lower level of imposterism. Many people have not lived their full potential, but many have attempted completed suicide as a result of not feeling like they are worthy to even be here. But in the Bible, it says, before I knew you, your mother's womb, I predestined you. You already had a purpose. So someone did not fulfill their purpose. Someone is missing out on a mentor or their potential because someone else didn't understand their full potential. So how do we get to the place? There are actors who commit suicide. And they're making millions of dollars. There are athletes who are always in prison because they can't get past their barriers and focus on what they actually have. And they're still dealing with past trauma and different experiences. Am I out of time? But many have completed suicide. I think in COVID, 1 out of 4 people have thought about suicide. I think in COVID, I think the uprising, child abuse, sexual abuse with children, domestic violence, everything was on the uprise. It all comes to how we identify ourselves, and it all comes through the lens of our experience. So it's important to take care of our mental health. And a lot of our mental health, it collaborates with spirituality. You know, if we understand who we are from God's creative purpose, we can achieve more. So as human beings, we develop schemas that decrease our ability to function at our full potential. There is a completed work of the cross that we neglect to memorialize, is what it's supposed to say, I apologize, by trying to do things in our own strength. We forget the work of the cross, which means we partner with Jesus. We don't have to do it on our own. But yet we do it on our own and we struggle because we forget to remember him. And God does require that we produce. He also wants to partner with us and work through humanity. His desire was always to love us, to love through us, and to abide in us. And us in him, so that his will becomes our will. So we talked about yesterday, one of the speakers talked about determinism. And the lower level of determinism is our future determined, or is the laws determined already, or do we have free will? But sometimes free will is knowing when to let go of your will. You know, and give it to God so that he can create the completed work within you. So it's important to lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge the Lord, trusting in him. And lastly, one of the historical challenges is that human suffering and division is a result of chaos, lack of understanding, and it can result in failure to produce. So sometimes our suffering makes us feel defeated, like we'll never attain something because we are always suffering. But the trying of our faith, you know, it works patience and it gives us the ability to thrive and to achieve. When we see our faith from the other side of through, knowing that God is with us, knowing he's going to bring us through it. If he gave us the idea to do it, if we transcend that, then we have more ability to reign with him, more of the ability to celebrate through the process after, you know, we've suffered. So, further theological reflection about the doctrine of creation reveals four key conclusions that are valuable for conceiving the relationship between theology and psychology. Number one, the goodness of the created realm establishes the investigation and exploration of human nature through science and psychology. Number two, human nature can be explored through psychology because God's providential care allows the sacred order of creation to be preserved despite the reality of sin. So even though we know all these things can happen because of sin, that doesn't mean that we cannot achieve more through the grace of God. God endows humanity with creative abilities to discover and develop the created realm and culture through the science of psychology. So if God, being our creator, can give himself to us and put himself in us so that we can do greater works, we need to be able to recreate that and give that to others. And number four, God's Trinitarian relations with the world establishes the theological basis for social, embodied, and relational aspects of human nature that are able to be discerned through the study of psychology. Integrating understanding the bilateral necessity and shared responsibility of multidisciplinary frameworks such as theology and psychology gives added perspective, clarifies information, gives a basis for exploration and friction that challenges professionals to change. And I say psychology and theology, but we are multidisciplinary here. I've seen geneticists and NASA and doctors and biologists and marine biologists, and the body is with many members, and when we collaborate together, we can create so many more things. We talked about the theory of mind, and if we understand God's intent for the culture he desires for humanity, which is to flourish, and if we understand his image, omnipotence, dominion, compassion, faithfulness, and understand that we were created to establish those same characteristics in our culture and present it through our produce, we can understand where there is a decline and use other methods and frameworks to address the problems and bring resolve, help, and support in a way that helps others with their struggles and produce change through our God-given multidisciplinary abilities. We are one body with many members in active need of each other. And when we fail to produce, we don't always take in consideration that interaction with God. And there's examples in the Bible when we see the parable of the talents, when God gave someone a gift and they buried it, how they didn't get more gifts and how it disheartened God. And there was a tree that didn't bear fruit and Jesus cursed it. So it's so important for us to bear fruit and to flourish. You are here because you have beliefs and ideas that you choose to explore within your disciplines that is purpose unveiling. Don't stop there. Follow the image given by God, even if it takes sacrifice. Live a life poured out. Give of yourself and your creative ability to produce in exceptional ways through others via mentorship, through giving your time and talent, through teaching others to thrive and reach their best selves. Lastly, don't be afraid of new or challenging things. By being a good steward over your personal life and learning to pivot, if you are not in alignment with purpose, you are much too valuable to minimize yourself as a result of comparison, lack, perceived failure, find purpose, and partner with God to change the world around you. I think that's it.
Any questions? Any questions?
So you stated, I'm not familiar with the exact language, that psychology and theology have a place for each other to kind of cross-pollinate their responsibility to interact with each other. And in your presentation, I largely saw you sketch out sort of theological anthropology. I was largely cited from scripture. And I'd be curious to know, what are some of the conceptions of the person that you see operating in clinical psychology, sort of in a secular sense? Like, economics has this idea of rational actor, human being. Anthropology in my place, right? Has the idea of human beings culturally constituted or conditioned? What kinds of ideas of the person do you find in psychology, and can those contribute anything to theology?
The person, I think I said it backwards, I'll reiterate it backwards. So I'm trying to find a clearer way to say it, but I think the person is adaptive, right? Flexible, and powerful, right? Beyond measure. And I think what gets in the way of the person is fear, doubt, worry. Those are all conceptualized in the Bible, but those are also conceptualized in the secular world. We get afraid sometimes to produce, whether it's because of comparison. I've seen a lot of people in my practice who are just so afraid to just step out of the box because of their divorce, or because they have a sick child, or because they have something that makes them fail to thrive. Sexual abuse as a child is a really big one. Some type of trauma, car accident. And then I have to help them to understand that this was a situation that they can accept, right? It did happen. It was painful. But what do you want to move? How do you want to move forward from here? You know, and some people don't want to move forward. They want to remain on drugs because it gives them more peace, right? And they don't understand God. So I have to work with them in that framework. And I don't bring up God at all. I only bring up God in instances where the person, that's their lens to view their experience. But it's the same. We're all made and we come through sin. And I don't talk about sin nature, but in actuality, you know, we have these issues. Some, I don't know anyone who's never had an issue. Has anyone in here can say, I've never had an issue? So we have these issues, and we use those issues as crutches, or we mentalize, or we try not to use psychological term, but we keep thinking about them. We say ruminate. We rehearse them in our hearts and our minds to the point to it becomes debilitating. And we can't move forward. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so the very beginning of your talk, you had a slide where you mentioned that scientists have tried to use science to define personhood. Do you think that's an immediate dead end? Like, intuitively, I want to say it's an immediate dead end because science doesn't address personhood. Have you seen any success in that?
I believe that we need both. I believe that science does a very good job of understanding, like we talked about yesterday, the atoms, the how the body is made and created. It does a good job of talking about how the mind works. And we even have really good imagery, you know, techniques and systems to see how the brain works. You know, science has used medically impaired people to open up the brain while they're still alive, right? And see what aspects of the brain is not working and why it's not working. And it gives us a great deal of detail of how people react to trauma, how people thrive in life, and different parts of the brain that react to emotions, you know, to experience, to love, to different happiness, you know. So it does tell a great deal about how people operate. But it doesn't tell a whole great deal about our purpose. And this is what this meeting was about, personhood and flourishing. And so that's why I integrated so much of theology, because I am a minister as well. But because I think that we forget to incorporate the fact that we don't have to walk this walk alone. And God is always giving us details and information to achieve what he desires us to do.
All right, let's thank you.